Matthew chapter 18. The message today is Amen. I'll tell you about it from the New Testament this morning, and in the will of God, from the Old Testament tonight. I want to read several scriptures, beginning in Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse 12. How think ye? If any man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go unto the mountains and seek that which goeth astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, Mark chapter 10. Verse 28. Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Luke 23, our Savior is crucified between two thieves. One of them has railed on him, but in verse 40 it says, But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, Dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And John 8. Verse 57. The Jews therefore said unto the Lord Jesus, You are not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. And now, 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 18, But as God is faithful, our word toward you is not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him is yea. For how many soever be the promises of God, in him is the yea, wherefore also through him is the Amen, unto the glory of God through us. And the last reference in Revelation 3. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one, and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments that thou mayest clothe thyself, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest, and I salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these many and varied passages of Scripture that we have read. Our God, thy word is filled with concepts and truths that would never enter the mind of man. But thou hast put them there, and since they were written, men have been reading these things, and we've read them again today. And just as men from the very first have been blessed by these truths, it is our desire that we should be blessed as well. Our Father, let us know why thy Son came from heaven, and we've begun to know it a little. So, our God, may we understand as the message is opened this morning. Prepare the hearts of those who are here to receive the truth, and empower him who speaks. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In our King James Bibles, you're not aware of it, but all of the passages that I read are the same. All of them contain the word Amen. You did not hear the word Amen until I came to 2 Corinthians 1 and Revelation 3:14, but in all the other passages, the same word in the original, Amen, was present. Whenever you read in the Gospels, verily I say unto you, or verily, verily I say unto you, the Lord Jesus is simply saying this, what I read to you in 2 Corinthians and in Revelation, Amen, 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 I say unto you. A remarkable thing that when you say the Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, Amen, you recognize the word. But when our Savior said, verily I say unto you, he said, Amen, I say unto you. So, what the translators have tried to do is to look at this word and give it an interpretation, and in the Gospels, it occurs 76 times, 5 times translated Amen, the other times translated verily, or verily, verily. And so they're trying to give it an interpretation that is correct. But in giving it that interpretation, they obliterate part of the fullness of the meaning of that word. The word does mean verily. It means truth. It means something that can be trusted. It means assuredly. It means verily, verily. So that's part of it. But the word is so remarkable because it's used in such a variety of ways. This morning, when we were at the remembrance meeting, some brethren stood there at their feet and they praised God. And when they finished, I said, Amen. And at the same time, Some, when they have offered a prayer asking God for a blessing from heaven, I say, Amen. And if I so desired, I could pray this way. I could say, Amen. You have promised to be in the midst where two or three are gathered. And when I say Amen, I am addressing our Savior by one of the varied names that God has given him in the Holy Scriptures. So many names, and they are strange at times. God said this in Exodus chapter 3. Moses said, "When I tell the children of Israel that someone sent me, whom shall I say sent me?" God said, "Say, Eyeh sent you." And the word Eyeh is I am. Tell them I am sent you. I will mention this now to emphasize it. What Moses asked God about, who was the one that authorized him to go and proclaim freedom to the children of Israel, God said, I am sent you to proclaim it. And I read to you in John 8:58, the Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. He is claiming the name that God gave himself in Exodus 3. He claims it before the Jews in John chapter 8. A clear declaration of the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to remember that because some people, when they read Revelation 3:14, these things saith the faithful and true witness, the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God. They say, do you see? Jesus is ancient, but he had a beginning. He's the beginning of the creation of God. Let me ask you a question. When God says, I am the first and the last, is he the first one that ever was? You say, he always has been. Is he ever going to end? Is he the last one? You say, it doesn't mean that. When God says, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. When God says, I am the beginning, does it mean he had a beginning? You say, no, God is eternal. And when he says, I am the end, does it mean that he is going to cease to exist? You say, no. When it says, I am the beginning, it means that all creation has its origin in him. And that is the meaning in Revelation 3:14. When Jesus says, I am the beginning of the creation of God, it has its beginning in him because he has never been created. It says in John chapter 1, all things were made by him. He has not been made because it says, in the beginning was the Word. He is the I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's always been. So when someone tries to deceive you by saying, did you know that Jesus is a creature, that God made him? He's the first creature. You tell him, no. Jesus Christ is the beginning, the same way that the Father is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. That's what Jesus Christ is. But among the various names that Jesus Christ has received, one of them is Amen. And it's interesting because Venus Brooks, so many years ago, told me this little anecdote about himself, and it was something like this. I can't remember the exact words. He said, when I was a young boy, they called me Peanut. I said, why did they call you Peanut? He said, because I always had a pocket full of raw peanuts, and everywhere when I was always eating those peanuts, and they called me Peanut. That is the way that I remember it. But he was constantly having a pocket full of peanuts and eating those peanuts, and so they gave him the name Peanut. And you have to look at the name that's given him and figure out its meaning. It didn't mean that he was a peanut. It meant that he ate them all the time. He liked them and he had them with him. And so, in like manner, when our Savior is given certain names, it is something that characterizes him. It is his nature. Listen to what Ezekiel tells God people are saying about him. And he is upset about it. He said, God, they are calling me a parable speaker. Why? Because he spoke to the children of Israel in parables, and they called him, here is the parable speaker. Now, in like manner, there is something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, and Christ says, you are a man. Why? Well, what I've done, and that's the reason that I selected one reference in each of the Gospels containing the word verily, which means amen, because there was such an abundance of material, I was unable to tell you, even read you, all the references. So from now on, will you remember this, that whenever you read the word verily, or verily, verily, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus is saying, amen. And so if you ask the question, well, why do they call the Lord Jesus amen? It is because, as they called Ezekiel the parable speaker, because he spoke in parables all the time, they called the Lord Jesus amen because he constantly, in his remarks, prefaced those remarks with amen. Now, this is the difference between the Lord Jesus and ordinary people. I listen to what you say, and I evaluate the truth of what you say. And if it is true, and if it's correct, I will say, amen. But you see, men make statements, and we listen to those statements, and we weigh those statements. And if they're acceptable, we say, amen. It means you have spoken the truth. But never, never did the Lord Jesus ever make a statement and say, amen. But the Lord Jesus always said, amen, and then made the statement. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is the amen. This will help you a little bit before I explain it more. It said, how many soever be the promises of God, in Christ is yea, and through Christ is amen. It means that all truth, all promise, all realization are centered in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Savior says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the way that he is described as being the truth is a lesser way and a part of his description as the amen. Because amen means more than something that is true. And when you say amen, you may not realize it, but you've listened to a person pray, and that prayer is acceptable, and you say amen. It means you put your stamp of approval upon it. You say, truth, this man has spoken the truth. But then, if I pray, Father, thy kingdom come, I want your kingdom to come, and when I finish, you say, amen, that is a prayer. Do you understand? You are saying, in the first instance, it is so. In the second instance, you are saying, may it be so. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he speaks, he prefaces all his remarks with the word amen. He says, truth. And when he says truth and certainty and assuredness, that's the way he prefaces all his remarks. And then he says something. And after he says those things, he does not say amen again, because he has said amen, truth, and that's the end of the matter. He is the only one, and I do not exclude the Apostle Paul, he is the only one to whom you listen and say amen before he speaks instead of after he speaks. The Bereans are called noble. The Bereans are more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and examined the scriptures, searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. The Apostle Paul preached, and the nobility of the Bereans were that they listened to the Apostle Paul, and they did not say, "Amen, we're listening to something that is absolute truth," but they listened to the man, and then they went to the Word of God, "Thy Word is truth," and they compared what he said with the Word of God, and then they said, "Amen." But the Lord Jesus is never one whose words you have to first examine and then say truth, but he is one that has such authority. He is by nature. He is innately truth, as God is holy, as God is true. So Christ is the embodiment of truth, and every word he ever spoke was true. And you can say, "Amen," before the Lord Jesus makes a statement. "And now speak, Lord Jesus." And whatever he says, you could have put the "Amen" at the end as well as at the beginning, because he never says anything that is not dependable, that is not true. And for that reason, I read you four scriptures, and some of them have to do with an affirmation of the truth, and some of them have to do with promises. They have varied context, but listen to them, because this is what is so delightful. I assure you now that whenever you hear Christ say, "Verily," or "Verily, verily," the next words you're going to hear are words that are true. You're going to hear a promise that inevitably and assuredly will be fulfilled, because the one who speaks these promises is Amen. I will tell you tonight, God willing, about God of Amen. The Amen God is found in Isaiah, and the Lord Jesus said, "I am the Amen." And so Jesus Christ is God's Amen. And I will tell you this now. It says in Romans chapter 15 that Christ has been made a minister of the circumcision to fulfill the promises of God that he made unto the fathers. Do you see? Here is Christ Jesus. He's been made a minister of the circumcision. Why? Because God made promises, and he's going to be the fulfiller of those promises. Now, listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 1. It read a little bit differently in your translation, but the gist of it is this, that in Christ Jesus is the truth of God, the promise of God, and in Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise of God. And so he comes as the one who makes the promises, and he comes as the fulfiller of the promises, and he is the one who, when he makes a promise, will inevitably fulfill that promise. And so let us think of our Savior as Amen. We think of him as I am, and so let us think of him as Amen. He is the one that is inherently true, and listen to what it says in Revelation 3:14, because this is what comes next. "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the author of the creation of God." It has its beginning in him. But he says, these things says the Amen, the one that invariably speaks truth, and therefore the faithful and true witness. And so for that reason, whenever the Lord Jesus makes a statement, accept that statement, because to reject that statement is at the detriment of your own welfare. The Lord Jesus said this to Simon Peter. He said, "Verily I say unto you, the cock shall not crow twice before thou shalt deny me thrice." Our Savior said, "Verily I say unto you." Peter said, "I will go to prison and I will die with you." I see. And so, Amen says, you are going to deny me. And Peter says, you are wrong. Now, in like manner, the sad thing is that also concerning the entire church at Laodicea, except a few, concerning that church, the Lord Jesus said, I am the faithful and true witness. And I wonder what Jesus Christ would say about the church here in Pembroke. What would he say about you as an individual? And whatever he would say, you simply bow your head and say, I accept that, O God, with shame and regret and humiliation. Because the Lord Jesus said this concerning his own disciples. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Savior, you said, I am evil. The Savior would say, you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And anything he says, it is prefaced by, Amen. Verily, I say unto you. And therefore, when he says, verily, stop. Pay attention. Because the next words that he speaks are specially and emphasized as being characterized by truth. Everything he ever said was truth. But I told you that 71 times in your King James Version, he says, truly or truly, truly. And so these things have a special emphasis by Jesus Christ as being true. So, sad to say concerning that church at Laodicea, he says, you say, we are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. That's what they say. What do you say, Amen? He said, I, Amen, the faithful witness, say that you are wretched and miserable and blind and naked and poor. That they are saying, we are rich and increased in goods. And so whenever the Lord Jesus speaks, never try to change those words. Never deny those words. But understand that what he is saying, he tells you for your own good. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Repent, therefore. And this is why the Lord Jesus was hated, but at the same time admired and could be reckoned with. This is what his enemies said concerning him. They said, Rabbi, we know that you are true, that you speak the truth. You regard not the person of man. That's lovely for your enemy to say that. They hated him, but they said, we know that you are true, and you speak the truth, and you regard not the presence of man. You have no special embracing of those that are in authority in Israel. No matter what they teach, you are the one that puts not any confidence in man. And so this is our Savior. Even his enemies said that. And when men say certain things concerning him, and then Christ himself says that what they say is true, then the matter has been settled. It has come to an end. Now, just this, and what I would have you to do for the thrilling of your soul is to go and check out every reference. Verily I say unto you, verily, verily I say unto you, and know that all of those things that Christ speaks are especially true. They are inevitably going to come to pass. And I simply mentioned four, and there are 71 in all in the Gospels alone where Christ speaks those words. I could add 25 more because in John's Gospel, he doesn't say verily. He says verily, verily. I must tell you something about this. If you say, what is the difference between verily and verily, verily? Does that mean that it's doubly true? You would like to think that. But if you compare our Savior's words in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then in John, you will find that when he uses them in Matthew and Mark, he simply says, verily. But when he uses them in John's Gospel, he says, verily, verily. Now, you figure that out. But you cannot make any distinction, because when he said, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me this night. In John's Gospel, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me this night. So, before you make great distinctions, understand that both of these statements are made by the Savior, in John's gospel, just as in Matthew's gospel, you'll find only the kingdom of heaven. In the other gospels, it's the kingdom of God. And at times where he says the kingdom of God, in one of the gospels, he'll say the kingdom of heaven in Matthew. But Christ is the Amen. He is the verily man. Just as Ezekiel spoke, and the people said, he's a speaker of parables. So you and I say, Jesus is the Amen man, because he's the speaker of truth. And listen to what he said to Pilate. Pilate said to him, are you a king then? The Lord Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end have I come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And the Lord Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said, what is truth? And he went out and spoke to the nation of Israel. How sad that the truth gives him an invitation, but he rejects that invitation. And this saddens the heart of the Lord Jesus, because the first reference I gave you in Matthew chapter 18, the Lord Jesus is telling us about the heart of God, the will of God. He speaks about 100 sheep, and one of them is lost. But he says that the shepherd goes seeking that sheep, and he says, if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, there is joy in his heart, there is more rejoicing than over the 99. Then he adds this, even so it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. Rejoice in the truth of this, that God is not willing that any should perish, that God sent his Son to bear your sins in his own body upon the tree. God so loved the world he gave his Son for you. And the Lord Jesus says, it rejoices the heart of God and of heaven when one sinner repents. And the Lord Jesus says, it's not my Father's will that anyone should perish. So you remember that the next time people come and tell you that God has predestined certain ones to be lost, and God delights for certain ones to be lost. God says, as I live, I have no joy, no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil ways and live. And Christ says, verily, I tell you, this is true. Concerning the future, notice now, concerning the future, the Lord Jesus says, you who have given up everything for me, in the future you will receive 100-fold reward. What an investment. So to put in $100 and get back $100, now that's a wonderful return. That 100-fold is 100% return times 100-fold. And the Lord Jesus said, this is what you who have trusted me and given up things for me shall receive in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. Listen to this promise. The thief on the cross says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus says unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Think of every promise of God concerning the future. Our Savior has said that he's going to prepare a place, and he's coming again to receive you to himself. That is the truth of God. If he says to the thief, you're going to be in heaven with me. So, you shall be in heaven with him also when he comes. And when the Savior says, before Abraham was, I am, he's claiming to be the eternal, the living God. And he says, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say to you. So concerning who he is, what he's going to do, the heart of God, Jesus Christ tells us these things are true, and Jesus Christ is the Amen. Therefore, let us say to everything he says, Amen. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful one. Let us know that the Bible says all men are liars. And the Bible also says that Jesus Christ is truth. Our God, thou wilt tell us to lay hands hastily, suddenly, on no man. But your Son is one upon whom we can lay hands in advance. We know that all that he has said is true. And all that he's going to say is true. And every promise that he's made is going to be fulfilled. We are thankful that you have sent Amen from heaven, our God. And let us realize that. And so let us look upon him in that way. We rejoice in him, our Father. And so bless these truths to our hearts, and let us also be those that are characterized by integrity and by truth. And may men look upon us and give us the nickname as a man who always tells the truth. Let us be like thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Amen, in whose name we pray. Amen.